The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Welcome in to Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a
hump day.
Thanks for being with us. We appreciate it, as always. Good morning to you, Randy. How are you?
What's happening, man? All good. Andy on this is very beautiful, fall-y type.
Yeah, it feels like fall.
Fall-y type Wednesday. But, it's all good over here, man. And we were just talking. My only thing about this fight, because it'll be on one of them TVs, I just don't want to see Mike get hurt, meaning himself. Right. Like, he's boxing, he slips on a wet spot, breaks his ankle. I don't want to see that.
Yeah.
I don't think Jake Paul's going to hurt him.
No, I just don't
want to see that.
Yeah, I mean, look, best case scenario is it happens, Tyson summons the greatness for a one punch.
If he catches him,
knocks him smooth out.
If he catches him clean, Mike's going to knock him out.
And we get a great, like, highlight, gif, whatever, forever. Like, that would be amazing.
You're right.
And then punches him into obscurity, and we never have to hear about him again. Like, that would really be great. I don't think that's possible, but, like, that would be phenomenal.
Right.
Like, realistically, like, something sad's probably going to happen.
Yeah.
I don't mean, like, tragic, but, like, what you're talking about. Like, he's 58 years old. Like,
right. He's
going to throw a punch and, like, dislocate his elbow or something.
That's what I'm saying. I don't want to see Mike hurt himself.
We've talked about this a number of times. There's just people who have done enough culturally for us in sports or whatever, entertainment, that, like, at a certain point, we should just like collect, like, we pay taxes for a lot of different stuff.
Right.
There should be a legends tax to where Mike doesn't have to do stuff like this. Or other people, whatever. Like, old folks going on tour if they don't want to go on tour anymore to play music and do a half-assed, you know, version of what they used to be. Pay towards a legends tax and keep these folks on a beach somewhere.
Why not?
And Mike's given us so many moments of fun and both in the ring and in movies and across the board for years. I don't want to see him lose to some Logan Paul or
whatever
this guy's name is.
Paul's
I don't know what his name is. Come on, man. Anyway, yeah, what is that, this weekend?
Yeah, I think he said, I was like, oh, yeah, that is this weekend.
Right.
But yeah, this is the one.
Go get him, Mike.
That's it.
Go get him. Look, I know it would be an upset. We've seen upsets.
Yes.
For instance, last night in Boston,
Dude. The
Atlanta Hawks go into the TD Garden, the historic, it's not really the Boston Garden, but similar, and it not the parquet, because that was a weird looking court.
Yes, it was. It was awful.
I mean, whatever.
It was awful.
If that gets the younger generation engaged,
is that why they do it?
It has to be.
Oh, because
I don't know. I don't. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was looking at it and I was like, all right, how can I say something positive about this?
It's ugly
because it's terrible.
Yeah.
But I don't want to just be like, all right, I don't want to just be like old, get off my lawn, hate everything guy. So I was like, all right, what can I say? I was like, maybe if kids like it. Maybe that's what it might be.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, because I don't, but I'm going to watch anyway. And I watched the game anyway, and the game was fantastic. No Trae Young. Hawks were some, like, 16-point favorite, underdog,
my
something like that.
My tip off was 15.5.
Unbelievable.
Yes.
And they go in there, and they just gut it out, man. Like, an incredible performance from Dyson Daniels. I know he's going to be the talk of the night last night, and he should be. They get him in that trade for DeJounte Murray, and he's exactly what they need defensively. It's six steals last night. That's four straight games with six-plus steals. That's crazy.
Dude. Dude, this dude gets his hand on it. He was frustrating the hell out of JT last night. He was frustrating the hell out of JT last night. And we talked about this last week about this guy. This guy came in with that mentality. Mm-hmm. He said out his mouth, I want to be all NBA defensive team.
He will be this year.
Yes. Like, hell, he might be. He keep playing like this. He might be in the, you know, I don't know.
I don't know if it'll be this year.
Yeah.
But there's
Defensive player of the year seems like it's in his in his future.
Like, he's 21 years old.
I know.
He's going to be able to do this for the next.
I didn't realize that until. I was like, that damn young?
Yeah, he's young.
Wow.
He's young. So he's going to be able to play this level of defense for a long time. It wouldn't surprise me at all if this guy's a defensive player of the year.
Dude, he is on one. But yeah, I'm just sitting there watching the game. And then it's on watching something else and having on the other TV. And it's like, oh, wow. Hawks hanging in there.
They're hanging tough.
Good job. Then the second half, like the back part of the second quarter is like, oh. Well, there it is.
All right, the Boston's gonna go on their little run.
I was like, and, you know what? I'm not gonna turn it. Let me go make some dinner and everything for everybody. It's like, oh, damn, they keep it close. Oh, it's really close. I was like, good for the Hawks, man. Good for them. Good for, you know, this team to work together. I mean, they killed them on the offensive glass. I'm talking about the Hawks. They killed the Celtics on the offensive glass.
That was essentially the offense that they had down the stretch. Because they had some of the rotation in throughout the fourth quarter. But when they went to their closing five, and look, I mean, you got your starting point guard and your backup point guard out. So shout out to Wallace for having to step in and be the guy. Keaton Wallace, who I would imagine most people don't know much about.
Raise his hand.
But he comes in and has to kind of run the thing. Like their offensive strategy was basically try to get into the lane. The Celtics are going to let you throw up a bad floater.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe make it, and they made a couple of them. Or maybe miss it, and a Kongwu and Capella and Jalen Johnson crash the boards and try to get an offensive rebound. And it worked.
And it worked.
Like, that was their play.
Yeah.
Pass it off the rim to Jalen Johnson. Jalen Johnson grabs the board and lays it in.
Yeah, man. It was crazy. But that's Boston, though.
Yeah, that's Boston.
That's Boston, Atlanta.
Yep. As much as they, they won the championship and they deserve all the respect, and they did beat the Hawks by like 30 a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, because they hit with 20, they hit like 25 threes that game or something like that.
They did. But this Boston's capable of this. Yeah. They have these nights where they kind of play with their food a little bit. And the Hawks did it to them twice last year. Remember? Yeah. Towards the end of the season, they beat them twice in 1 week.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah, but that's what I'm
saying.
They
came back down 30 and beat them, and then the Celtics had 4 days off or something
in Atlanta. Yeah.
And the Hawks had to play two games in that time and beat them somehow in the second half of a back-to-back. So, yeah, Boston will do this. But that's not to take anything away from that group of Hawks
that's
last night, because they're missing a lot of guys to go on the road. And it was the first game of the NBA Cup, too, so it goes a little further. And who knows? You never know. Like, the Pacers made the final of that last
year.
Did. So maybe the Hawks could be a team that does that this year as well. So a little extra intrigue in there.
Yeah, man. I mean, but yeah, I hate the court, but it was all of that last night. I thought, watched a little bit of the Sixers game, man. Embiid, he just looks rough.
Yeah.
And I'm not surprised that he looked as bad as he did. I'm not surprised at all. Your first game back, this dude, I mean, with all the lower leg injuries, how much training does he actually get to do?
I don't know.
To get his endurance up. I mean, he just looked real timid.
I just thought if he was going to have that much time, because I know the first part of it was injury related. The last handful, like the last week, was because he was suspended, right? So he would have been back before.
Yeah.
I just, like, that's off rest. Like, he's supposed to look at least a little fresher. I wasn't surprised he was missing shots. He looked like every step hurt.
Yeah, man.
Like,
yeah, exactly.
I don't know.
Exactly. And that's why I keep thinking about him. Like, what happened between the Olympics and now? Did he have a surgery or what?
I don't know.
Because
remember the first part of the Olympics,
he looked like that.
He looked like that,
that's
too.
Exactly.
And then he
kind
of played his way into it. And by the final couple games, he actually was a real contributor and helped.
Yeah.
But I just don't know. Like, obviously, he's not going to play back-to-backs. They've made that very clear. I thought maybe the time off and the first game back and it being the Knicks and Karl Anthony Towns, who he hates.
Right.
Like, I thought maybe that would be a little bit of no. He'd had no juice.
He had nothing
at
all.
It was crazy. And they got beat pretty bad.
Yeah. Then I thought last night the coolest thing was the Klay Thompson.
Awesome.
I thought it was so cool because, I mean, just the love, obviously, with the sailor hats and everything, and then watching the damn fools on TNT with them all with Shaq and Charles and them, which is funny. But for him to go in there and the love and appreciation, because Klay's a real stoic dude.
Mm-hmm.
He really, really is. And you saw him just getting emotional and everything. And he played pretty good last night.
He did play good.
But that damn Steph. And I don't know what happened. I know what happened as far as the situation with what they wanted to give him his contract and everything, his role. And did he feel like – I know he feels slighted by that. But it's like did he feel slighted by Steph? Did Steph not go to bat for him?
It doesn't seem that way.
It
doesn't seem that way. It seems like he understands. I mean, it hurts.
Yes.
It sucks.
And he said it hurts quite a few times.
Yeah, and it's the business of it, and, you know, sad reality of it is they made the right choice.
Yes.
Like, Klay's, you know, he's not the same guy anymore. I mean, he can still shoot for sure, and he made six threes last night or something like that. So, like, he is still capable of doing that, but he's just not the guy that he was when he was a max contract player and they were winning championships with him. They saved a bunch of money, replaced him with guys who kind of can do the stuff that he can't do anymore, and lo and behold, they're 9-2.
Yep.
Like, smart move financially. But it seemed to me like those guys are fine because they were getting after each other last night pretty good. Like, Klay hit the three, did the little shimmy. Steph's trying not to laugh, but he can't help but laugh. Steph hit a floater in his face and kind of laughed at him and looked at him. Like, yeah, they were going back and forth.
But then Steph closed it out,
in a good, in a good-hearted, good-natured way. Yeah, then Steph went. Enough,
this is my
enough
blank,
feel-good
blank,
moment. Let me close on a 12-0 run and slam the door.
Yeah, this is my blank, blank, blank. Yeah. Like, oh, all right then, Steph.
Yeah, I don't know.
I thought it was a great game.
I'm impressed by the Warriors to start this season.
And then that day on Kyrie. When Kyrie goes, it's so beautiful to watch that man play offensive basketball.
It is. Tough night shooting last night for some of the members of the Mavericks, most notably Doncic. I thought he got his tooth knocked out in the first half.
I thought it was a game time all the way up to tip.
Well,
last
he played.
Night.
He didn't play very well, but then he got knocked in the tooth, and he looked, that thing was wiggling. Ooh. It was all bloody. He stayed in the game though. All right, we'll come back. We'll get back into obviously talking to Dave Archer in about half an hour about the Falcons. College football playoff rankings. Week 2 came out last night. Georgia got screwed, Randy. The disrespect. We'll get into that after this. Not really. This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Thanks for being with us. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, that's Quinn Snyder after the game talking about Dyson Daniels, who played fantastic.
Yes,
28 points last night, 7 assists as well, 6 steals, held Jason Tatum to just 20 points, and Tatum pretty much deferred in the fourth quarter. He was like, to hell with this.
Yeah.
I can't get a shot on this guy. You guys take it.
Yeah, Jalen had it going, but I thought the crazy thing was the possession where they got a 5-second violation. Remember at the end of the game, it was like – hold on.
Well, it was not a 5-second.
It was a 5-second violation.
It was like an inbound violation.
Okay.
Like they stepped on the line.
Okay, did he? Okay. I was trying to figure out what the hell that call was and everything like that. But yeah, I mean, they went out there and like Steve said, they were shorthanded without their best player, and they went out there against arguably the best team in the NBA and went out there and took their cookies and on the road. And I thought that, you know, like you said, Dyson was really, really good both sides of the basketball. And you hope that he continues to be aggressive like that offensively when Trey comes back.
Yeah. Now, I mean, the good thing is, you know, every night you're getting that on defense.
Right.
Now, maybe not 6 steals because, you know, some of that is, you know, luck and tip balls, whatever. But, like, the effort is going to be there every single night defensively from him. And it kind of sets the tone because, like, you can't be out there with that guy and he's doing all that.
And you're not doing it.
And you're on your heels.
Right.
You know? I think Jalen Johnson's defense has taken another step this season. I think Reese Shea has been really solid as well. Had a ton of steals. Had 16 steals.
Yeah, I mean, I like those
insane.
Two. I like those two because I like when they had a matchup on their two dudes. When they had Jalen on Jalen, and then you had the Australian dude on Jason. And I like those matchups because those we talk – every time when we talk about winning in this league, you need those body-type players.
Wing defenders.
You need those type of guys, and they have that right now. And I mean, you can't say enough about how great Jalen is playing this year, man. We know about the extension and everything, but this dude is an ascending young player, Andy, who is coming into his own as, you know, as a really good – two-way NBA player, and they need him to be a really good two-way player in order for this thing to get wherever it needs to go.
Excellent finisher at the rim.
Very.
Really, really fun to watch all the different ways that he can finish, slash into the rim. Obviously, in the open court, he's incredibly athletic, but he can contort his body and stops on a dime and gets little floaters in there off the backboard. Dyson Daniels had a couple nice finishes last night, too. Like, a bit more athletic around the rim than maybe we knew that he was.
I know nothing about this dude in a trade for him.
Yeah.
Didn't know nothing about him until, I think a lot of us here in Atlanta didn't know nothing about him until we saw him in the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
And then we heard everybody was talking about him and everything. So I know nothing about him.
Yeah.
All I know is when they told me and what that way when they made the trade about, oh, he's a hell of a – he's a defensive-type young player that, you know, he can stand in the corner and kind of maybe make three-pointers.
You had to be a real NBA, like,
yes,
diehard – I don't even know what the word is – like, to know who that guy is. Like, obviously he was drafted in the lottery and all, but he never played.
Yeah.
Never played. Like – we play the Pelicans all the time.
Yep.
Hawks play the Pelicans all the time. I didn't know who he was.
Didn't know who he was.
I remember when he got drafted, I was like, who's that guy? Oh, and I'm an Australian guy. Maybe like Dante Exum.
Right.
Nothing like Dante
Exum.
Nothing
at all. Nothing at all.
Play like Dante Exum. But yeah, I mean, and again, it's early returns. It's 12 games, whatever. But like, looks like a really savvy move by a front office that has been maligned for not very many savvy moves for a few years. So if this one turns out to be one of those, good for them. Good for them, because they certainly needed it, and he's the right kind of guy for the team. He seems to be fitting in and all that. So, good win last night over the Boston Celtics. Not a fan of the courts, to be honest.
At all.
Hard to look at. Eyes adjust. The green was easier than the blue that the Sixers game was on.
Yeah.
God, you could hardly see the guys.
Yes, but I mean, obviously, they're looking for that specific bold color, so we know here when it'll be a red.
I think it's yellow.
No.
I think it is.
Here for the Hawks?
I think so.
Why wouldn't you go red?
Well, I don't know. I got yellow in there. I could be wrong. I thought I saw like a graphic with all the courts yesterday, and I was like, oh, that one's the Hawks. The yellow's kind of close to wood color.
Oh, is it?
Well, no. Like that wood that they use on the floor is kind of yellow.
I thought they would use the dominant color. You know,
let me Google it.
Yeah, because that don't that
talk
don't,
it out for a minute.
That don't look like or sound like that would be good right there. If you're telling me that they're gonna have yellow. Yeah.
Well, the Lakers got
the Lakers. I mean, but they're the Lakers. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
That's true. They're dominant.
That's their dominant.
Plus, purple would be hard.
Yeah, but I'm thinking like when you think red with the Hawks. Well, you know what? As long as it ain't lime green or that raggedy blue that they
got. No, it looks looking as far as I could tell right now. It looks yellow.
Okay.
Which is fine because it kind of looks like a basketball court.
Uh huh.
That's good.
All right, wait. I don't even know how to do it. Because you think it's for the kids. I don't know what it's for. I think it's just something.
It's not for us.
No. I'm thinking that when they thought about this, Adam Silver was like, well, we got to do something. We just can't have these games on regular. I got it. Let's make the courts loud and obnoxious.
But I think that like that's what every league does now to try to. Because like every time some league does something like this, guys like you and me are like, that's dumb.
Yeah.
Like the Color Rush jerseys, remember that?
Yes. They're
horrible.
They're awful.
Alternate jerseys that all these college football teams wear.
They're awful.
Tend to be horrible. The courts last night, like, yeah, not, but the kids like them.
My son didn't like it.
Oh, he didn't?
No, Samson didn't like it.
Yeah, that's the test case. Yeah, my kids are too young to really have an opinion
like
on it.
Yeah, he didn't like it.
He was watching that and said the green was
he's
bad.
Like, he's like, Dad, that's an ugly floor.
Dang it.
Yeah, so I don't know what it, but it's still, I mean, you
didn't
know,
work.
I have a traditional rich son. I've instilled all of the tradition into him. All right, we don't do throwbacks. He hates throwbacks. He hates, he hates alternative jerseys.
Really?
Right? Nah, because. Since he's been a little dude watching foot sports with me since he's 1 year old and whatever, I've always put that in him, Andy.
Yeah, good.
I've always put that in him. He's not. He don't want the. He don't want Georgia to wear the black jerseys.
Good.
Yeah. Good. Just gotta just steal.
We just gotta. We gotta like create our own holdouts one
yes,
by one.
Yes. You gotta get to them early.
That's the benefit of the show. We've created a bunch of children.
Yeah. You gotta get to them early.
We just indoctrinate our children with our old timey beliefs.
Yep. Gotta get.
Bo's got kids. Day-Day's got kids.
You gotta get to them early, man.
Between the four of us, that's a bunch of people.
That you have to influence in a way where. All right, we don't like this new stuff.
We don't like that stuff.
Yeah, we don't like it. It's just like that, too.
Yeah, we don't go for that kind of nonsense.
Ugh.
Week two of the college football playoff rankings are out. Thoughts?
I mean, I thought Georgia would be, I think I said 11-12 yesterday as far as, but I'm looking at it and I continue to look at it as far as the ranking, not necessarily the bracket.
Yeah, they are ranked 12.
Yeah, and that's what I thought. But I wasn't thinking bracket, though, when I said that yesterday. They win this weekend, they're fine. But
exactly.
But that's why, you know, I know that, because then everybody got to catch strays and who they play and they play this team and all. Yes, Georgia has the number one hardest schedule, the number one with all this other crap. Okay, fine. Georgia stinks right now, all right, to their standard. All right, they're not playing good. They're playing like the 12th ranked team or maybe even worse than that.
Yeah.
I mean, and I can't, I mean, all the other teams in front of them, Indiana, they're winning. I know they ain't played no damn body.
But they're
winning.
They haven't lost any games.
They haven't lost any games. Penn State. I mean, yeah, Georgia would be favored against all those teams because somebody just sent me that. Yes, I know Georgia will be favored against all those teams. I don't doubt that. But those teams, one, I don't understand the whole Miami drop. But, I mean, I don't think Georgia got screwed, if you want. Because I don't think Georgia's playing good.
No, I don't know how you could look at it and think Georgia got screwed.
I'm just talking about looking at them, watching them play. Not necessarily who they play, no. Watching them play.
Right.
Watching them play last Saturday. They got dominated. They got dominated by the number 16 team, too. All right? And so
11 now.
11. But I'm saying, at the time. That's why I'm like, I'm not even really sitting up here stressing about it. They win this weekend, which I'm always say the Dogs are going to win every weekend, but good. That's just how I roll. Then they'll be back in it, and then you can't take them out of it. But then they still got to, you know, UMass and Tech and everything. I still don't believe that if they are, because they're, I think yesterday you heard it, well, Georgia, you know, the three loss, they'll still get in maybe. It's a possibility. I don't think so. It's an elimination game for Georgia.
Yeah, it's a hard road to navigate if they get three loss. Now, if that third loss is in the SEC championship game.
No, that's different.
Maybe.
That's different.
Maybe.
That's
which is,
different.
You know, there's a road to that as
yes,
well.
That's different.
The point is, and I think most people are here, but maybe not. Like, there's still so much that has yet to happen.
And that's why you can't, that's why it's like.
Including Saturday.
But this is what the commit, they want you to sit on it and then start throwing strays in here. And I'm like, but I know who they played, but they won all their games.
Yeah.
I know that Miami lost to an unranked Georgia Tech team. Okay, but.
And they fell a whole bunch of spots.
They fell spots. Yeah, but five still, spots. Yeah, I know Georgia fell 9 spots. It seems like it's excessive. I think it's excessive, but at the same time, it's like, did you watch the game? Get ass whooped.
Yeah. They got smoked. I don't know what, you know.
Yeah.
And the teams that are ranked in front of them, Boise State's not ranked in front of them. Boise State's behind them in the rankings, but they get the bracket because they're a group of 5 team auto bid. The two teams in front of them are the two teams that beat them.
Yeah.
So, like, Alabama and Ole Miss should be ranked in front of them. They beat them. Yeah. I don't know what to say about
it. All right. But, yeah, I mean, they take care of business weekend, which I think they will. They'll be in it, and then all I got to do is win out, and they will get one of those spots.
Yeah.
They'll get one of those spots.
That's right. And I don't really have – well, I guess I can't say I don't have any doubt. It wouldn't shock me if Tennessee beats them, but I think Georgia will beat Tennessee on Saturday. And when they do that, that's the 7th-ranked team in the country. Their resume is even better.
And then they'll go up.
And then they move up.
Yeah, and they move up.
And the reality of it is because the conference they play in and how these other teams – Indiana and Ohio State, one of the two of them is going to have another loss because they played.
And it's worse for Indiana for simple reason is that they don't believe in them, but they got to put them right there. Indiana's one of those teams, a one-loss team, they're gone. They're going to be out of it.
Yeah.
They're going to be out of it.
Unless that loss is in the Big Ten championship.
Unless that right there. Now, they play Ohio State. That's their prove-it game, whatever. Well, if Ohio State beats them, I think they drop far because of that.
Depends on how it looks.
I
think if they play them tight, because Ohio State lost to Oregon, and they're number 2.
But I think because people look at Ohio State differently than I think they do Indiana.
Yeah. I think if Indiana goes in there and plays a tough game, though, against Ohio State.
You think they'll drop
and then makes the Big Ten championship game, I think they'll get the respect.
I don't know.
Maybe not.
I don't know. Because then everybody will view the teams they play always. And I think
But here's the thing, though. Like, if they have one loss at the end, that means they either beat Ohio State or someone in the Big Ten championship.
Exactly.
So they'd have a win.
Exactly. But what I'm saying is this. If they lose to Ohio State, where are they at right now?
5.
If they're at 5. If they lose to Ohio State whenever they play. They play next week. If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, not this weekend.
Yeah, next weekend. I think they drop so far, Bunk.
I think it depends on how it looks.
I think they drop.
If it looks like Ohio State's lost to Oregon and it's 1 point
but
and it's the final minute.
I understand what you're saying right now. I think the committee is not going to respect Indiana and their resume. That's how I view it because right now they got like 110th strength of schedule and all that other crap.
True.
That's the only reason I say that because the committee. I'm not saying that they won't deserve it. I just don't know how this committee views because to me, I don't think they watch the games.
I'll tell you the one that annoys me. It's just they're just sitting there right at 8.
Oh,
as they always
Notre
are.
Dame.
No matter what.
Notre Dame.
4-team playoff, 12-team playoff. Just lose to Northern Illinois, whatever. Doesn't matter. We're just going to quietly go about our business. And, oh, you stop paying attention to us second week of September.
And they stopped.
And they've been beating the hell out of everybody. And here we are. Notre Dame right back in the playoff.
Sitting there.
Haven't beat anybody.
Haven't beat nobody.
No, I guess who do they beat? Army or
the
Navy
quarterback,
or something
the quarterback,
like that?
The quarterback, you know, he's like throwing like 4 touchdowns a year. All they do is run the ball, playing great defense.
Yep.
But it's Notre Dame, man.
Notre Dame.
It is Notre Dame.
They're just sitting right there, just lurking, just waiting to go. Because if they're somewhere right in between 9 and 11, which is where they'll be, because the 12th team will be the group of 5, they'll go on the road to where? I don't know. Sanford Stadium and get beat by 3
and
touchdowns.
That's the crazy thing you hear now because of where the Big Ten schools are ranked as far as where the SEC schools are. These SEC schools got to go into the cold. We got thermal gear in our damn in our stuff. We got heated benches at Georgia.
Well, all the teams that are in the top 4 get byes anyway.
Yeah,
you don't have to go there.
I was like, huh? Oh, we got to go to Big Ten country. Like, come on, man. All right.
I don't think it's more about the weather. I think it's going on the road. That's hard.
Yeah, well.
You go on the road to, I don't know where, Ohio State.
I would love to go. Georgia and Ohio at the Shoe? Hell yeah. Sign me up for that.
But you'd rather have them at home.
Of course.
Yeah.
But.
But it's not. Yeah. I just think that's another layer to it also that makes it fun and challenging. Like, I mean, you see what it is. You see what Georgia's look like on the road this year? Yeah, man. They look bad on the road. Except for the Texas game. They look really good in that game. All right. Dave Archer is going to join us next. We'll talk some Falcons with him ahead of the Broncos game coming up on Sunday. Get his thoughts on what all went into the loss to the Saints on last Sunday as well. So don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Oh, yeah, this is, oh, my God. I think I was listening to this the other day, man, when I was jamming.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah, because it's symbolized for the Falcons. They can't look back on last week, man.
Don't look back.
Yeah, man, you can't look back.
This is a classic.
I know, George, I was listening to this the other day.
Yeah. This reminds me of riding around in my dad's work van.
Uh-huh.
Riding shotgun in the old Chevy work van. Back when Dad used to smoke Marlboros. Probably didn't even have my seatbelt on.
Hell no.
The good old days.
Those are hard.
We didn't wear seatbelts back then.
He went to rolling his own, and now he's since quit. So shout out to Dad. Doesn't smoke cigarettes anymore. All right. Midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a hump day Wednesday. 11:40 on Wednesdays means Dave Archer joins the show. Arch, how are you?
What up, Dave?
Those are hard on you, man. Those Marlboros with no filter in them, man. You get secondhand smoke off that, you're a lot of problems.
Yeah. I think my voice is so deep, you know? You got a radio voice.
Well, if you got an air guitar to a little Boston, like Don't Look Back, you obviously got to have that beer bottle down there where you're picking that beer bottle a little bit. I know Randy can do that.
Dude, you have a good – hey, man. You know, our parents, they didn't, you know, we didn't have the most safety measures back in those days.
Yeah, it was a hope and a prayer.
I love it.
Let's talk a bit about the Saints game, and then we'll start moving forward to the Broncos game coming up on Sunday. After the game, I heard some folks talking about flat, other folks saying it wasn't. How did you see it? Did they come out flat, or was it just something else that didn't click early in that football game?
Yeah, I think you missed on a couple plays, Andy, in the game. I think that flat is a relative term, I guess. That means you're not, there's attention to detail or lack of attention to detail. I don't think that was the case at all. I thought that, you know, Ray makes a really good play on the first third down play. Kirk throws him into a window. Ray makes a big time grab to extend the drive there, your opening drive. And then you've got a fake screen. You got Drake up the sideline on third down.
Yep.
If Drake gets that other foot down, are we talking about him starting slow? That may be a play that leads him to a touchdown.
Right.
But defensively, I do feel like they came out and it seems like this has kind of been an MO for them. They try to adjust to what they're seeing in the first quarter. Because the Saints had like 57 yards or something like that in the first quarter. I think a lot of it's rushing. And they don't do anything pretty much after. They had a couple of big plays, but after that, they didn't do anything. So, that's what I saw early on. But, you know, you got to. These games are going to come down to a few points. You guys know they're generally one-score games.
Yep.
And if you don't cash in your opportunities, you're going to lose.
Dave, what did you see as far as the adjustments that they did make in that second half for them to get five of their six drives with three and outs and everything, got the offense the ball back? What did you see them adjust to as far as did they come more, did they play more too high, more blitzing? How did they, get the Saints off the field?
Yeah, I thought they came after him a little more, Randy. I thought that there was a little bit more pressure involved. I thought there was a little bit tighter coverage, more contested stuff. I think they adjusted to what the Saints were going to try to do. Because remember, you're coming into the game and you're not really sure, okay, Olave's out of the game, Rashid Shaheed's out of the game. You know, what's their attack going to be? And they ultimately didn't really change a whole bunch. And so I think Atlanta just got back to, trying to defend them, hug up tighter in coverage, and then really – recommit to fitting against the run. Because you gave one play up in the second half. It was a three-count screen to Kamara, right, where right. Troy Anderson's out in the flat. It looked like Troy might have hurt himself again on the play, but they gave up 31 yards on that play. New Orleans had 100 yards total in the second half. So, yep. You know, you certainly shut stuff down.
I don't know how much you can speak to, like, the the technique of kicking that's going into Young League? Probably not. But you've certainly been around kickers that have been on heaters and kickers that maybe go through cold spots. Like, what goes into making sure that Young Wei Koo gets back to his former self as quickly as possible?
Yeah, it's a good question, Andy. It's a mental thing to a certain extent. Obviously, there's technique attached to it. He's got a very quirky way of setting up his way of setting up. You almost think that, okay, he gets in good position, and then he cocks himself back maybe two head up, you know, and that's why he loses some to the left. Now, obviously, the last one he lost looked like he got a gust of wind that actually pushed it right, which was really weird. But he'll figure it out. I mean, it's the same guy that in week four kicked a 58-yarder to beat the same team. So I think you got to give him a little bit of leeway. Quarterbacks throw interceptions. Kickers miss some kicks from time to time. I know there's a trend here that people are talking about with him over the last three or four games where he's struggled a little bit. He's missed some kicks that he hadn't normally missed. I think he's a mentally tough dude. I think you just continue to reinforce him positively, remind him about the play kicks he's made. And I see Young Wei practice. I'll see him today out here. He'll be set up. He'll have the camera set up on him, and he'll be looking at how he's setting up and trying to work on his technique. So, believe me, he'll turn over every rock to make sure he gets it dialed back in.
Dave, Bijan was outstanding Sunday. Just, I mean, catching and, you know, running the football. Do you get to a point where you don't want all that? Because he's gonna run the ball maybe 16, 17 times, but you're going to throw it to him at least seven. Is there a point where you, like, maybe want to cut back and give Tyler maybe some more carries? Or because he's Bijan, you want to get him the ball as much as possible?
Well, I think that it's a double-edged sword, isn't it, Randy? He's a guy that's making plays for you, and you got to go win games. So you need to do in real time what you need to do to win this game. But you also got to begin to look at big picture. How many times do we want him to touch the ball? So in week 17, we got the same guy we got week 8, right? Week 9. So that's a real tough one to negotiate. I think that they're trying to negotiate that. I think we saw Tyler get a few more carries in this game, take a little bit of the load off Bijan. But, man, he's so dynamic. He's I don't know, you guys are looking at all the guys, too. He's got to be one of the three or four or five most dynamic players at the running back position in the game.
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah. Dave Archer joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, talking some Falcons, getting ready for the upcoming matchup on Sunday against the Broncos. Bo Nix is playing better, Arch. He's gotten much more efficient as the season has gone on. What have you seen from him getting ready for this one on Sunday that the Falcons are going to have to try to stop?
Yeah, you're right, and his comfort zone is getting better, and that's the way it is for a young quarterback. The more you get a chance to play, the more things you see, the more things that are repetitive, and now all of a sudden you're adjusting to them with your physical skills as opposed to having to think through it. I think he's getting to some of those points. I think the thing that bothers me most about him is, and I know you guys have talked about it, is his ability to create things out of the pocket. And over the years, those kind of quarterbacks have caused us problems. We haven't seen a lot of that here this year, and so you've got a guy that's going to come in that sometimes he just takes off because he doesn't recognize what he sees, and because he's so athletic, he can do that. So that's the part that I think concerns you the most. I think if you keep him somewhat hemmed in, they're not running the ball great. They haven't been that dynamic offensively.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But you're right. He has gotten more and more comfortable as the season's gone along. He's gotten more comfortable with what Sean's calling for him. I think Sean's gotten comfortable with what he needs to call for him. So, and that's a natural progression for a young quarterback as you kind of settle in. And as you begin to think about the young quarterbacks that got drafted, what, we have six in the first round?
Mm-hmm.
This guy might be playing the best of any of the first-round quarterbacks.
Dave, what about the defense? I know coming to this season, I know – a lot of people just knew the Lil Pat Sertan and who else was out there. But, Dave, they're one of the better defenses in football. What do they do as far as scheme-wise that could give the Falcons issues?
Well, they try to make you one-dimensional, certainly. They've been pretty good against the run game. Now, they did get run over by Baltimore in the second half of that game. If you go back 2 weeks ago, they got beat 41-10 by the Ravens. And you think, oh, well, Lamar had 4 yards rushing in the game. So they mauled him in the run game in the second half. They had over 100 yards rushing against Denver in the second half of that game. Now, Kansas City was limited, but that's not what Kansas City does, running the football. So I don't really use that as a measuring stick. I look at a team that's a little bit more like us that invests in the run game, and that would have to be 2 weeks ago when Baltimore got after him in the run game. Henry had 120 yards rushing and 100 of that came in the second half. But the thing they're doing the best, to me, is they're when you get to the red zone, they shut you down. They're the top three or four teams in the league, again, the red zone. Last weekend, Kansas City got down there four times, got one score. They scored one touchdown. And that's something that plagued Atlanta this last weekend. You had three attempts in the red zone. You only scored one touchdown. So you've got to be able to finish drives. I think you're going to move the ball against them. Now, they're sacking the quarterback. I think they got 35 sacks. They got four guys that have five-plus sacks. So if you get in, you know, situations where they know you're throwing the ball, it could be a long day. So Zach Robinson will have to have one of his better games as far as keeping them off balance with the run game and maybe throwing the ball on first down against them to keep them off balance.
Good info, Arch. As always, we appreciate it.
Appreciate it, Dave.
Great to talk to you guys. Randy, it'll be okay. George is going to be okay.
Thank you, Dave. That helps out a lot today. Thank you.
Dave Archer there, Atlanta Falcons radio network analyst, former quarterback. Yeah, I don't want to talk about what's going on with Iowa State.
Oh, I was going to leave that one out.
I don't want to do that one.
I was going to leave that out because, I mean, nephew them. Yeah. They got ramrodded by Kansas.
Kansas beat them real bad.
I was like, ooh.
Yeah, and Kansas hadn't done that to anybody
no,
all year.
No, they got ramrodded.
There was some high hopes for Kansas, and then they just kind of been.
You remember, because because we always talk about coaches and striking when irons out. Has he lost some?
Probably.
You think so?
Yeah. Well, that quarterback, it's not because Jaden Daniels,
the brother, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Their quarterback is Jalen Daniels. Yeah. And he's good. He's obviously not as good as Jaden Daniels, right. But yeah, he was good on Saturday.
Yeah, man.
That's for damn sure.
Much.
So here, just let me sort of condense what Arch told us about the Broncos. They sacked the quarterback a lot. But you can run on them.
Mm-hmm.
So big Bijan Algier day.
Mm-hmm.
But they really bow up in the red zone.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully you can punch it in. But if you can't, kicker.
Yep.
Have to make some field goals.
I mean, this team, you're going to have to make some anyways. But I think, you know, more or less with Dave. But it's like they're bend but don't break defense.
Uh-huh.
And then they're more effective when they get you in predictable downs. I mean, you got four guys on your team with five sacks.
Mm-hmm.
That means that you got a collection of guys where, okay, who do we slide protection to? Now, I know he's number zero because I know their pass rusher because I know he just got an extension and everything like that. But yeah, when you get in those must throw downs, that's when they're the most effective because they can cover pretty good.
And Jonathan Cooper,
thank you. And then you got who does Pat guard? More likely, it's going to be Drake.
Probably
more likely it's going to be Drake.
It should be a pretty interesting matchup for sure. It's one that the Falcons can win if they run the ball really well. But if they can't run the ball, it's gonna be a long
day.
And
the thing with it is they're going to. I mean, talking about Denver, they're gonna load the box.
Mm-hmm.
They're gonna try to make the and like Dave Sarah make them one dimensional. And their objective, they got to stop the rush. They got to stop the run by the Falcons. And obviously put Kurt Mustard. That's why I like what Dave said. The first down passes.
Bo Nix threw four interceptions in the first 2 weeks. He's done two since.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty effective since then.
He's one of those guys that, you know, because of his athleticism, and he would prefer.
That's going to be hard to get him on the
ground. He will prefer to be moving than standing stationary in the pocket, but he's always been like that.
The Ravens got him four times a couple weeks ago.
And the Ravens can't rush the passer no better than the Falcons.
They don't have a great passer, better than the Falcons.
Yeah.
But that's a low bar. It's going to be very difficult to get him on the ground, no matter who you are. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to an NFL no huddle to kick off the noon hour. Some college football conversation at 12:20 as well. Now the playoff rankings are out. We'll start turning the page to Saturday as well and the Georgia-Tennessee matchup. Don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.